grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, merciful Judge, you are an inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts that love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Jesus was a little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus was a little children of the world.
A reading from Genesis, the 50th chapter. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave us this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of your servants, of God, the servants of God, your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together Psalm 103 responsively. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You will not always accuse us, nor will you keep your anger forever. You have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is your steadfast love for those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so you have compassion for those who fear you, O Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it is in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans, the 14th chapter. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of one another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for God is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in the honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possession and payment to be made. So the slave fell to his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon his fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, Pay me what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused, and he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then the Lord summoned him and said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he could pay the entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. I understand the weight of today. And it's only God who could really orchestrate having readings like we had about forgiveness. September 2001, I was 20 years old. I just started dating my wife, who I've been with for now 10 years. I was still living at home. I was just becoming aware politically. I was just learning about the world outside of the small one that encompassed my family and my friends. And it seemed like this outside world came crashing on me on September 11th. I'd woken up and I saw the news playing. I was barely waking up and I see that the first plane had crashed into the tower. I couldn't believe what I was watching. My father came out of his room. "Is this real?" I asked him. And he nodded. "What happened?" "A plane hit the tower." "On purpose?" "I don't know." And I felt like I was in a daze all day. My mind was having a hard time comprehending what had happened. And when I learned that indeed it was a terrorist attack, my daze suddenly changed into a focused rage. We now had somebody to blame. We could now do something about the people who attacked us. And so later, when we invaded Afghanistan, I felt justified. I felt that these terrorists had a debt to pay. But not only that, revenge. By any means necessary, do what it takes. I'll never forget a political cartoon I saw that day. It was an angry American eagle filing and sharpening its claws with two smoking towers in the distance. I felt pride. And that feeling of revenge that I had, it's as old as the creation stories in Genesis. There's this odd, really short scripture passage that's called the Song of Lamech. Lamech is the great, great, great grandson of Cain. Remember, Cain killed Abel. This is what Lamech says. "I killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, truly Lamech is 77. Many believe that this particular passage is commentary on the expanding civilization, and that's one built on revenge. So we hear some very challenging words today about how God's kingdom works. Peter says to Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me?" We read the church, but that's really not a right translation. It's my brother. Jesus says to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times." In this little exchange between Peter and Jesus, Jesus is showing how God's kingdom is not based on the systems of this world. And he's directly countering that cycle of revenge in the Song of Lamech. Forgiveness is the guiding principle of the church. This is how the church is to be the body of Christ. The kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of the world is about revenge, paying people back for wrongdoing. It's about revenge and not redemption. 77 has another symbolic meaning. It doesn't only mean 77 times. It really means infinity. And then Jesus goes on to tell a parable about forgiveness. And so we learn something interesting through this parable today. We learn that God is like a king, and we are like slaves who owe an incredible debt. In fact, the debt is so large that it could never be repaid. One talent is worth more than 15 years of labor. And the slave owed 10,000 talents. 150,000 years of labor. It's not possible to pay that back. When confronted with all this debt, the man could do nothing but plead for his life. And then, amazingly, the king takes pity on him. And he forgives him all the debt. That's the character of God. God is like the king who has forgiven us of our debts. The king himself can only forgive the debt that we owe. We can't work it off. We can't do anything. One theologian writes, God forgives us because of who God is, not because of who we are. The grace and forgiveness of God are free, but they are not cheap. And the cross is a constant reminder of that. The kingdom of God works on a different level than the kingdoms of this world. God's forgiveness is like a king who forgave a man of debt that could never be paid back. And because of this infinite forgiveness, is the character of God, you would think that the servant in the story would have been so excited when he came across the man who owed him 100 denarii, which is only equivalent to 100 days of wages. He would have forgiven the debt owed. You'd think that he would have done that, but he doesn't. He's caught up in that cycle of lament. He chooses not to forgive. And when the king hears this, he puts the servant back under his debt to be paid. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness is not something that can be received and then kept. No, if we as a church truly have faith that the debt that we have has been forgiven, we cannot help but forgive others the debts that they owe us. It flows from the church as electricity flows through power lines. Although, as we saw on Thursday night, that's not always the case. There are people who sins against us are great. Sometimes there are people that we feel especially don't deserve it. I can think of some. But from God's point of view, the distance between the ordinarily sinful and those whom we consider to be extremely sinful is the distance between San Diego and San Francisco. From the viewpoint of the sun, it's very small. And you know, that's hard for me to say. And it's hard for me to hear, especially on a day like today. Let's take a look at forgiveness a little bit more. Let's pry it open, see what we can learn. There's some great lessons from the Eastern Orthodox Church. They have something called the aphophotic tradition, which basically means you define something by what it's not. So let's do that with forgiveness. Forgiveness is not letting somebody walk on you. is not avoidance. Forgiveness is not forgetting. And forgiveness is definitely not excusing the wrong, especially like abuse. And forgiveness is not sentimentalism. As we hear today, forgiveness is like releasing a debt someone has owed us. It's like dropping a weight that we've been carrying around. It's like breathing in for the first time when you've held your breath for a very long time. Forgiveness is life-giving. A friend of mine, Dr. Carl Rasch, said, forgiveness is finding a new reality. And I think it's also creating a new reality. It does not try to go back to the way things used to be. But it goes forward, knowing that redemption is possible. April 25th, 1958, in Philadelphia, there was a Korean student who was going to the post office. And he was met by a street gang. And he was beaten, and he was killed. There was a great public outcry. The prosecutors, they called for the death penalty. And in the midst of the all of this, a letter arrived from Korea. It read, "Our family has met together and we've decided to petition that the most generous treatment possible within the laws of your government be given to those who've committed this criminal action. In order to give evidence of our sincere hope contained in this petition, we've decided to save money to start a fund for the religious, educational, vocational, and social guidance of the boys when they are released. We've dared to express our hope with the spirit received from the gospel of Jesus Christ who died for our sins. How do we truly forgive one another? It's only through remembering that God has already forgiven us. The family understood this very well, that their sins were forgiven, and they forgave the boys who killed their son. They believed a new reality was possible. They are not carrying around a debt. One pastor said, "We forgive not so that we can be good, but so that we can be set free." We heard in today's readings in Genesis that Joseph forgave his brothers who sold him into slavery. He had the power to do to them whatever he wanted. But no, he created a new reality where the both of them could go further. And yet forgiveness is not always reconciliation. Forgiveness is releasing the person from the debt they owe you. And therefore, it frees us. The cycle of revenge and violence is very easy to get caught up in. I'm not very comfortable with the feelings of revenge that I harbored back then. And I completely understand that there may be people here today that are harboring the same weight in their own hearts. They are harboring some rage and thoughts of revenge. I know that the odds are that there are some here today who cannot forgive at this point. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't say. It doesn't mean that we don't believe that we shouldn't be able to. It doesn't mean that we don't espouse forgiveness as the essentials to the kingdom of God. And the great thing about community is that even though you can't forgive, the person next to you is able to. And we hold each other up. We're in this together. We support each other when we are weak, because tomorrow we might not be able to forgive, and they are. And we pray. And we pray like we pray every Sunday. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And we pray it until we believe it, until we embody it, until it becomes our own reality. Thank God we're not in this alone. Thank God we can constantly learn forgiveness, because we have a God who is constantly forgiving us of our sin. I know that's hard to hear on a day like today.